In six DVD sessions, is it's like a drama, like kind of like what we did with Not a Fan this past spring, kind of the same concept. But this time we're focusing on reaching people that don't know Jesus. And each of our groups are going to be meeting on, starting on September 9th, 2 weeks from today. And the goal of these groups is to reach out to people that don't know Christ in their lives. This is a very non-threatening approach to showing somebody about Jesus. You'll love the video. It's very powerful. And I want to encourage you, this first meeting on September 9th is only going to be for our group here at Forest Mill. We'll get the instructions from your leader on that day, and he'll tell you what you're supposed to do and how we're supposed to reach out. It will give us about two more weeks after that, and on September 30th will be our first actual meeting with people from our community, people from our families. So I'm real excited about this, but we start 2 weeks from today, and I want you to join me in prayer for that day when we start these groups. It's going to be wonderful. I want you to think about all the different words you've ever heard for the word anger. You get mad, you get miffed, irked, irritated, hacked off, PO'd, steamed, furious, irate, incensed, enraged, exasperated, fed up, put out, and ticked off. Furthermore, we get our dandruff up, get hot under the collar, lose our cool, blow our top, blow our stack, fly off the handle, have a tizzy. And finally, we have a conniption. If I missed any, don't have a cow, man. Anger. We hear the word, strikes emotion in us when we hear it. Today, let's ask the question, what does God think of our anger? Is anger a sin? And how can I learn to control my hot-headedness? We're going to talk about this today. So let's join in prayer today as we begin. Father, we want to lift up, first of all, our church family to you. Lord, we want to say to you, you're precious to us. We deeply love you. We are so thankful we are your children. We surrender these small groups to you. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will lead us to all those people in our communities and families and jobs that are seeking truth in their lives. Bring those people to us, Father. Bless the group and the group's leaders. Help us, Father, to bring you glory through these groups and to bring people to your Son. Lord, we just ask today as we learn about anger that your Holy Spirit will teach us. Help us, Lord, to learn and to grow today and to be stretched in our faith. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus begins with these words beginning in verse 20. And if you want to open up your Bible, you can. This is the NIV. If you want to compare the translation, that's fine. Jesus said, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." Very strong words. Let's start back in verse 20. Jesus said, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, if I would have been listening to Jesus' words in the first century, I would have heard those words and immediately got totally discouraged. I would have said, "There's no way, Lee, there's just no way I can be as righteous as the Pharisees." They were, you know, they, if anybody's going to heaven, it's these guys. I mean, they got it all down. They look right, they talk right, they pray right, they do everything right. There's a slight problem. Everything they did was external. They weren't about the heart. And in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God is always more concerned about the heart. Why? Because if we get the heart right, the outside will follow. And this is the part Jesus now is focusing on. He's focusing on the heart, the internal part of us. The righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees is an internal righteousness, inside. And this, praise God, we have the Holy Spirit. For those who are following Jesus Christ and have been baptized into Christ, you have the Holy Spirit to empower you, to transform you, to change you, because we can't change our hearts. David cries out, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord." That is the cry of our souls. Only God can change our hearts. So now Jesus tells us what this internal righteousness looks like. And he talks about, interestingly enough, six things. Six things here that all have to do with relationships: anger, lust, divorce, honesty, revenge, and love for enemies. So as we look at this first one on anger, he begins with these words. You have heard that it was said long ago, do not murder. Okay? We all know that's from the Ten Commandments. Murder is obviously the intentional killing of another human being for personal reasons. Okay? Now, if you're one of these Pharisees, like most people, they're going to say, well, you know, there's one sin I've never committed murder. You can imagine them thinking about that. And a lot of us today, a lot of us will say, well, you know, I'm not really a great person, but at least I haven't murdered anybody. We say the same thing. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, but I tell you. Notice that the authority there. He's saying, you have heard this command. And then they added to it. They said, they'll be subject to judgment. This is a rabbinic teaching that was added. Now he says, but I tell you, anyone who is angry with brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Notice how he goes from the outside to the inside. And basically what he's saying is, you guys think you're right with God just because you haven't murdered anyone physically. But let me explain what the Father fully meant when he said, do not murder. Murder originates in the heart with anger, does it not? That's where it starts. Therefore, if you're angry with someone, you are already guilty of murder. See, the problem with the Pharisees is they would say, well, we haven't committed murder, but we could be as angry as we want as long as we go through our rituals, go to our little service on Sunday and do our little thing. We can lust all we want. We can be angry all we want. Doesn't matter. We can lie as long as I get the outside right. And Jesus says, uh-uh. The heart is what God is looking at, and where we are open before the Lord. Jesus says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Begins here. That's where it begins, Jesus is saying. So how does Jesus define murder? He's going to tell us now. There's three ways he defines it. If we are angry in our heart with another person, that's where he's going to start. And I want you to notice the progression. If we slander them verbally, we're angry in our heart, now we're slandering the person. Finally, if we judge and condemn their character, now we are playing God with this person. You'll see what I'm talking about as we go along here. Let's look at each one individually. First of all, he says murder is being angry, the equivalent of being angry in our heart with another person. So let's go through this. What kind of anger is he talking about? He's talking about selfish anger. He's talking about the kind of anger that nurses a grudge against somebody. The kind of anger that is unforgiving, is harsh. They cherish the resentment. There's bitterness. There's a desire for revenge. This is selfish anger. Anger when somebody does something to us that we don't like and we respond back to them in a way that is ungodly. Now, can anger ever be righteous? You know, people normally think of, when they think of righteous anger, they think of Jesus in the temple. You remember when he came to the temple that one day? And all the money changers were in there, and basically they were preventing the Gentiles from worshiping God. It'd be like coming here on a Sunday morning, and instead of being able to sit down in your seat, we have a huge yard sale going on, and there's no place you can sit. And Jesus got upset because the Gentiles could not worship the Lord. And therefore, he made a whip. Remember, he drove all the money changers out. God's anger is never, never selfish. It's always unselfish. It comes out of a pure love. A pure love. God never loses his cool or blows a stack out of selfishness like we do. That's important to understand. Righteous anger is being upset when God is dishonored, but not seeking revenge or retaliation. That's the hard part. We get upset at abortion. We get upset at unrighteousness. But the problem is we open our mouth and we start wanting to take care of it ourselves instead of giving it to God who can resolve all things. It's important that we respond. In fact, I think we need a little more righteous anger in our country. We need to step up and say, that's not right. That's murder. That's wrong. We need to step in and say something. But we do it with love and conviction, but with a sense of love for that other person. The bottom line that I want you to understand today is anger is a choice. Nobody forces you to get angry. You choose to get angry. You choose to react. You choose to blow your stack. Anger, I think, is a habit. I think we get used to reacting a certain way and we continue to live that way our whole lives. And we get to a point in our life that we don't even realize that we're blowing our stack all the time, but our family does, our coworkers do. And they think, man, what is up with that person? We don't even see it. Anger is a choice. What do people do with their anger? Well, they do one of two things. Many people suppress it. You know, they suppress their anger. They don't show it publicly. They won't let you know that they're hacked off, but they'll nurse that grudge for a long time. And if we keep nursing that anger, guess what? It becomes bitterness. And bitterness leads to hate. It all starts with what we do with our anger. A lot of people suppress it. Other people just explode. They say, well, you know, I might as well just let it all out. I'm really hacked off about this situation, so I'm just going to explode. And you're all just going to have to deal with it, okay? And people say, you know, well, it's better to let it out than keep it in, right? You ever thought about how a gun, when it goes off, it leaves destruction in everything its path? That's what happens when we have rage, anger, and we explode. It's just like a shooting a gun. It leaves damage in every, all of its path. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Wise words. Anger is an emotion we must learn to control, or it will control us. It will take over your life and consume you. Yoda's right. Are you ready? Can y'all say it with me like Yoda does? Come on, get out your Yoda voice. Can y'all say it? Anger leads to bitterness. Bitterness leads to hate. Hate leads to the dark side. I didn't hear anybody saying it with me. Can't you do Yoda? Yoda rocks, man. It's so true. I used to see this all the time in the inner city. 3 or 4 year old child already extremely angry because of his house situation. His mom and dad are not living with him or whatever. There's so much anger, and that's what's happening in the ghetto. It leads to bitterness. It leads to hate. It leads to crime. It leads to violence. That's why we have all these problems in our world today. We live in an angry world, very angry world. Is anger a sin? Okay, that's the question everybody wants to know. Let's look at Ephesians 4. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Notice how God wants us to resolve things very quickly. It's a constant theme. Do not give the devil a foothold. If you continue to nurse your anger and your bitterness and your grudge, guess what? The devil's got a charge and a foothold in your life. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What grieves God's Spirit that lives in us? Rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, all every form of malice. It grieves God's spirit within us. When we are bitter, when we will not let go of something, when we are unforgiving, it grieves Him. And it makes us unproductive. It makes us feel like we're not close to God because of that. Anger is a choice. It's also a habit that must be broken. Paul says, get rid of it. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all bitterness. We do not need to let this emotion control us, because when it happens, and we need to get over it quickly before it becomes a serious sin and we murder people with our words. James's word, very powerful. Human anger does not produce the righteous life that God desires. If you're a hothead, think about those words. They're very strong. What will help us work on our anger? I think if we start realizing that it grieves God, it makes Him sad. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hurt God. Anger and bitterness does that. So how does Jesus define murder if we are angry in our heart with another person? That's the first step. Secondly, murder is slandering people, slandering someone. Jesus said again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. It's interesting where this word raka came from. It's almost like the person is spitting on the person. And the word raka means empty head, bonehead. We would say idiot. Now you are slandering the person. You're talking badly about their person, who they are as a person. Notice the progression. We've gone from being angry with someone in our heart to now we are using hurtful words towards that person. Jesus is simply saying we murder people with our words. How many of us in this room, how many of us have said something we have really regretted later? We all have. We've said things that have hurt people deeply. Wounded our spouse, wounded our child. And you can't take them back. That's the thing about it. We'll return to our program after this important message. I'm going to invite my little girl up here. Come on up here, sweetie. I'm not going to embarrass you. Come on up here. All right, what's this, guys? Toothpaste, okay. What do we normally do with toothpaste? Am I in the right place this morning? Okay, look at that. How about that? Can you all see that? How about that? Come on, get it all out there. All right, Sarah. You have a task, honey. I want you to put that toothpaste back in there. Can you do that for me? I can't. Why not? It's already... I can't put it back in, can I? Thank you, sweetie. You sit down. Once you say the words, you cannot take them back. It's history. And it's remembered. Just like that toothpaste. Can't put it back in there. I tell you that everyone who will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is saying we're accountable for what we say. What you think nobody heard, He heard. We need to reconcile, ask forgiveness, and make things right quickly as we go through this life. So how does Jesus define murder? If we're angry in our heart with another person, if we slander them verbally, now this is the third one, judging and condemning their character. Notice what Jesus says here. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Fool in the book of Proverbs is someone who lives as if there's no God. Somebody who just has no morals in their lives. When you start saying you fool to somebody, you are attacking the character of that person. You are basically playing God with that person. Judging their thoughts and their motives. Nobody can do that. Notice it's gotten intense. We've gone from being angry to using hurtful words. Now we're attacking the person's character. It's getting worse, isn't it? So how does anger affect our relationship with God? Well, look in verse 23. Jesus said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Reconciliation is more important than going to church. In his day, offering a sacrifice or an offering in the temple. This is how important reconciliation is to God. He's saying, don't show up on Sunday morning if you have a problem and are not unreconciled with somebody. If you're unforgiving and bitter about towards someone, you need to think twice about coming. It affects our worship. It affects how God sees us. Because if I can't reconcile with another human being, there's some problems inside my heart. I have to start thinking, what is going on in here? Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Strong words. What if you've offended someone? Resolve it. Go to that person. I'm not going to do that. They need to come to me. If they got a problem with what I've done, doggone it, they need to come to me. Jesus is saying, you be the responsible and mature person in this. Go resolve it. What if they've offended you? Be the mature one. Resolve it. Our pride and our egos get in the way, don't they? I'm not going to listen. I am not. We want to get back at them. And you know what? You show Jesus Christ more in your life by how you reconcile and forgive and are willing to forgive others. What if the person refuses to reconcile with me? What if I've gone to them and said, you know, I want to make things right, and they've spit on me or, you know, whatever. If you have done everything you know to do, move on with your life. Don't dwell on it, okay? Because reconciliation is a choice. If you've made the effort and you've tried, that's what you're supposed to do. I would urge you to continue to pray and continue to look for opportunities to reconcile with that person. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Not everyone's going to be peaceful with you. Not everyone's going to want to reconcile. Continue to pray for that individual. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. But as the mature one, you should be the one that responds and says, look, I'm sorry. And I think sometimes we should be willing to get egg on our face. I'm not here to win an argument. I just want to say I'm sorry for my actions. And be the humble one. And to show people Christ. Jesus says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. The judge may hand you over to the officer. Notice the progression. And you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you that you don't even get out until you've paid the last penny. You're going to pay for it, is what he's saying. If we cannot reconcile ourselves, God will step in. And you don't want God to step in. He's saying, do it quickly. I believe a lot of us are in this prison of unforgiveness, and our pride and our ego are just keeping us there. We're not willing to let it go. But guess who the prisoner is? It's you. It's me. I've been there. I've been in unforgiveness. I've been in bitterness. I've lived all that. And I can testify to you today, it doesn't resolve anything. It makes you the prisoner. So what should we do if we have a problem with anger? Remember, anger is a choice. Instead of reacting, stop and think before speaking. I think that is where it starts. We need to say, whoa, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to stop. Get my breath. I don't want to start talking because we can murder people with our words. Secondly, be careful of the friends you choose. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Why, Solomon? Solomon says if you associate with a hot-tempered person, guess what? You're going to become hot-tempered. Won't take long. Careful who you choose as friends. When upset, take a time out. Say, 5 minute break, I'm going to go out there and walk for a little bit. This works good with our children too. When you're walking outside, just start talking to God about it. Be honest. Lord, I'm so frustrated. Pray for self-control. And for the individual that you're upset with, we need a perspective sometimes to see things. Settle matters quickly before pride and ego take over, before the sun goes down. This idea of going to bed on your anger and waking up the next day, I don't buy that. If I can do everything humanly possible to make things right with that person, I need to make things right with that person, because I ain't going to sleep that night anyway. Settle matters quickly. Try to speak in a gentle tone. And listen, listen, listen. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, how that is true. It's amazing. When you start raising your voice like this, when you start talking like this in a gentle tone, people tune in. Family, we got to think. We got to stop and think what we're doing here. Are we going to let anger control us, or are we going to control anger? Pray and ask God to help you overcome anger. Boy, oh boy, how we need to pray. And God's Spirit will help us, because God's Spirit doesn't want to be grieved. Deal with bitterness by asking God to help you to forgive those who have offended you. Maybe you just need to sit down today and ask God, Lord, reveal to my heart anybody that I've offended, anything I've hurt, you know? The point is, you'll never grow spiritually until you overcome bitterness. You won't. You won't. Trust me. Been there, done that. You won't grow. Forgiveness sets us free. And I would like to encourage you, if you have a problem with anger, I mean, if you have a problem with it that and you need to address it, I would encourage you to get counseling. They've got anger management classes that are excellent. This workbook called The Anger Workbook, maybe Michael could, he knows more about these kind of books, but when I was in prison ministry in Texas, I worked with a chaplain for a year in this maximum security prison, and they had an anger management class, and they used that book, and it was the most fantastic book. I mean, if inmates, you know, inmates have a lot of anger. If that would help them, that would help all of us, because it's really good, good stuff. Another book by Neil Anderson and Rich Miller that's very good as well. We need to get help if that's the case. So in closing, I want you to understand something as we close today. This is what I want you to walk out with. Anger is a choice. It's also a habit for many of us. Not everybody, but for some of us. And it must be broken. Get rid of all anger and bitterness, Paul says. We do not need to let this emotion control us. When it happens, we need to get over it quickly before it becomes a serious sin. We murder people with our words, and reconciliation comes before worship. It is the most important thing that we can do. And if a person does not want to reconcile with you and you've done everything you know to do, come on to worship. God knows the situation. That's important for us to understand today. Who do you need to make things right with today? Probably the first person that came to your mind right now is the person that you need to go make right with. Maybe they're in here. I don't think we should take the Lord's Supper if I have a problem with somebody in this room. I firmly believe that. Because Lord's Supper, I'm expressing and showing my unity with my other brothers and sisters. If I have an issue with somebody, I don't even need to participate in that until I reconcile with that brother or sister. Now, on September 9th, we're going to be talking about divorce and remarriage. And I want you to relax, okay? This will not be a doctrinal message. But we will look at how to find hope and healing and how the church needs to respond in love. Forest Mill is known as a church, a haven for people who are hurting. And I'm proud to be associated with a congregation like this congregation. Please do not avoid coming that day because you're worried that you will hear condemnation. This is not going to be that kind of sermon. I'm not into all that, okay? On the contrary, you're going to find redemption. you're going to find healing. And the message is going to be approved by the elders before I even step into this pulpit. And I want you to understand that. Please invite those people you know who have been hurt by churches, and there are many. Many people we know who've been deeply hurt by things that were said, things that were done, because they got a divorce. Bring them here that Sunday, because they need healing. They need hope. They need to know that there's forgiveness at the cross. We can have that. I think that's very important for us to address as a church body. Let's pray as we close. Father, we all struggle in this area with anger, and Lord, forgive us for the things that we have said in the past to people that we have deeply offended or hurt them. Forgive us for hurting our children. Forgive us for hurting our family, for friends, for coworkers. Lord, if it's all possible, help us to reconcile, to be willing to swallow the pride and the ego and to go to that person and say, today, I'm really sorry. Help us, Father, and bring healing to all of our relationships. I know there's every family in this room has problems and issues. Everyone here does, Lord. Help us to reconcile so that we ultimately glorify you and we show Christ. Forgive us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing I'm thankful for is that God is no longer angry with those who are in Christ. The beautiful news is Jesus took the wrath of God for our sins upon himself and offers forgiveness and eternal life to anybody who will put their trust in him and be baptized. Maybe today you need to do that. We can baptize you today into Christ. Maybe today you just need the prayers of this church. We can want to pray for you and encourage you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing.